Welcome back to The One Where I Met Your Mother, a podcast about friends and how I met your mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
Natalie, how are you?
How are you today, Natalie?
Natalie, the robot.
I'm doing okay.
You hesitate because our apartment is so scary right now.
Yes, I was going to bring up how spooky it is in here. We decked the halls.
Yeah, we decorated for Halloween. I've got a terrifying pumpkin literally looking right in the face right now.
I painted a pumpkin with my nephew.
There's a spider dangling between us.
Yeah.
There are bats all over the walls. It's real scary in here.
There's a, skeleton hanging by the door. There's a menacing figure above our...
Above the television.
Television,
A ghoul? Would you call it a ghoul?
I would say a demon or a ghoul.
Or a ghoul, okay, yeah.
A ghoulish demon.
It's very scary.
Yeah.
There's also a ghost, but that's more cute than scary.
Yeah. There's a big spider.
Oh, yeah, there's a big spider.
I'm
so scary.
A little bit tired, but I think that's just the default now as I get up there in years.
I'm doing great. Last week, we were both very tired.
Yeah. Why were we so tired last week?
I don't remember. But I also, I changed my note taking and I changed my approach slightly.
Okay.
Which is, I'm going to be less slavish to
the structure,
the recap.
Yes.
This happened.
Yeah, we just discussed.
People who are listening to this, they either watched the episode in preparation.
Yeah.
Or they didn't and they don't care. They just want to hear us talk about it. So I don't need to reconstruct every single scene.
That's not what people are here for.
Yeah.
Are there people here for it?
Yeah, there are people here for it. We're still getting, comments sometimes.
Okay.
So I think I was trying. I think that's just a lesson I need to relearn.
Yeah.
So let's just jump into it. We're going to talk about seasons one, episodes 19 of Friends and How I Met Your Mother. The Friends episode is called The One Where the Monkey Gets Away. And the How I Met Your Mother episode is called Mary the Paralegal. But we're going to put a pin in Mary the Paralegal.
Ouch. Yes.
That's Mary.
Good one.
And now for the time being, we're going to talk about Friends season one, episode 19, The One Where the Monkey Gets Away. Unfortunately, spoiler alert, the monkey doesn't stay away, which is what I would have wanted.
Yeah.
Get that monkey the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I always like to know whether or not the episodes open at Central Perk. I feel like we should
This one did.
Yeah. We should be tracking Friends. Did this Friends open at Central Perk? Did this How Many Mother open at McLaren's? You know, we should be making notes about
and they
that.
Both do, yeah.
Yeah, this week we had a double showing up, opening the curtain on their respective hangs.
Yeah. So what's your favorite? Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Real quick.
Yeah.
If you could hang at any of the TV show sitcom hangs, what would it be? Because I have an answer.
It has to be a sitcom.
No, it could be anything. Yeah, are you thinking Peach Pit?
Oh, like the Bronze.
The Bronze.
The Bronze, you never know when Amy Mann might play or Chief Amato.
They
had all kinds of, but I guess the Peach Pit also had
coffee.
A lot of fans.
The Bronze is just coffee.
The Bronze was just coffee when they were in high school, and then it seemed like they suddenly started serving beer at the Bronze when the characters were old enough to drink. The Bronze seemed to change with if I'm being realistic, I don't know if this is just recency bias, but probably McLaren's. McLaren seems the most a fun, real city pub.
I'm gonna go and show my age here and say the Regal Beagle.
That's okay, but it's not like you were actually into you're not the age of someone who you watch Three's Company and reruns.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out where did they drink on the Dick Van Dyke show?
The design of the Regal Beagle is awesome. But yeah, I think that's me saying this is a cool 70s bar.
You want to drink at the the fake like coconut bar on Gilligan's Island. Like, just made it a policy to drink out of coconuts.
Yeah.
Well, your name, I mean, you do have a...
Yeah. I have a right to be there.
Yeah, yeah. You are one of the cast members. So anyway, we open in Central Park, but it's not the whole gang. It's just Rachel being bad at her job. It's a standalone like scene where she has effectively memorized every flavor of tea that they serve at Central Park, but forgotten which customer I asked. Yeah. Which
she did a good job.
It's a funny idea.
Yeah.
And I think tea names are funny.
Yeah.
You know, there's... because there was also that we can't get up through an episode of this without talking about Seinfeld. Do you remember when?
Or So I Married an Axe Murderer. I think of, there's a joke about tea, like
about tea.
Yeah,
about tea names though, specifically.
Cubby Wubby Woom Room is one of the teas.
But you remember the Seinfeld episode where Elaine and George bond over making fun of Jerry behind his back. And they're both talking about the flavor of tea that he likes. And one of the teas that he drinks is Morning Thunder.
Right.
And George is like, Morning Thunder has caffeine in it. Jerry doesn't drink caffeine. And Elaine's like, he doesn't know that Morning Thunder has caffeine in it.
Right.
And he walks around all morning going, I feel great.
Yeah, I like when they make fun of Jerry.
Yeah. But anyway, I like a standalone cold open.
Yeah.
Sometimes the cold opens, you know, like introduce the plot elements of the episode, but I like just a standalone cold open sometimes. That's what this is. That has nothing to do with anything. But we get to the main meat of the episode. Rachel finds out because Monica brings her mail at work. Just like...
It's weird, yeah.
You live together.
This is like, your job.
She'll just get it. Yeah. Like, this was... Unless it was, like, marked
she'll
urgent,
get it when she
maybe?
Goes home.
Like,
yeah.
Here, like, I know you were waiting for your, like... I don't know, new driver's license in the mail or something.
Yeah.
Like, just wait till she gets home. But anyway, they have this scene at Central Park. Rachel finds out that Barry, whom she left at the altar 6 months prior, is engaged again because it's in the news. Go ahead.
To her maid of honor.
To her maid of honor, Mindy.
Mindy.
Who's very pretty.
Yeah.
According to Monica. We don't see her.
Yeah. Which is like, breaks the girl code. Like, no, you don't say the ex's new... bride is pretty.
Yeah, yeah.
But so yeah, it's a country club newsletter that her mom sends her every month.
Yeah, I like the reminders that that Rachel comes from like a rich family, but I guess the Gellers are rich too, right? Because they were like friends growing up or whatever. I'm guessing the Gellers are also a wealthy family. We'll get more into these characters' teenage years in a minute. This is going to be just a spoiler for the rest of the episode for you, Natalie, and for the listeners. Didn't really like either of these episodes very much.
I'm going to be honest. I didn't either.
Yeah.
I was like trying to think what the lesser of the.
Yeah. Well, when we get to playing favorites,
it'll be tough.
It's like a 2-way tie for last, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So then, Ross is like listening to Rachel talk about her woes. I hate that. I hate the like, oh, I'm the nice guy, but the I'm the perfect guy for her. I'm right
pining.
In front of her.
Yeah. Why don't you see it? We'll be perfect together.
Ugh, so toxic, so gross. And this episode has so much of it. And then as if that weren't enough, we get the rest of the gang come back in. They've just seen a movie together, a Hugh Grant movie, who Joey calls him Lou Grant, which is funny. It's the only funny part of the scene, but they're like, Joey and Chandler like complaining about like, it was a chick flick. It's like,
yeah,
I get
this dumb battle of the sexes bullshit is just tiring.
And I don't like, I also like have trouble pinning down who the show thinks Chandler is. He's like, and I guess we find some stuff about his childhood. We've already learned some. We find some more out by the end of this episode. Like, he's a weird mix of things,
yes,
Chandler.
Yes, and his character will have some growth.
Okay.
But right now, I think he's just, like, the clown of the group.
Yeah, but he seems like he's supposed to be the, like above it all type sometimes.
Like, sarcasm.
Yeah, but then he's also, like, ooh, chick flicks, which seems so, like... basic
with like a little sprinkle of homophobia because
of
like
of course always you can't
so
not.
Hugh Grant was like I guess frolicking
nude
nude
yeah because Joey says he likes
He likes nudity.
If movies don't have action, they have to have nudity.
But not a naked man frolicking, God forbid.
Yeah, God forbid. Anyway, so hated that. Weird thing, just to point it out, in the like little like establishing interstitial shots of New York City in between scenes, there's a World Trade Center towers shot, which is like, I don't know, I'm never going to get to a place where that's not like, oh,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It's it's so it takes me out of the, but I also don't, like, I don't think they should go back and
edit
them out, which like they talked about doing with certain things at the time. At the time, remember, like they said the Simpsons were never going to rerun the World Trade Center episode.
Right.
Like it came back. They pulled a trailer for the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie, the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie. Cause there was a trailer that was like, which it happens very rarely anymore, where there's a trailer for a movie that is like completely original. Like, like a thing that's shot just to be a trailer, like not made from footage from the movie, but like just a, and there was a trailer where some bad guys were like getting away in a helicopter, and then like suddenly their helicopter stops and they're like, what? And they realize they're caught in a spider web that's been a huge spider web between the two World Trade Center towers.
Oh, wow.
It, like, it pulls back to see that, and it's like Spider-Man.
It's just kind of like jarring.
They pulled that from the air. But yeah, it's, anyway, that's not the point. I like, these are both, both shows we talk about in the show are New York City shows. As we're talking about World Trade Center, it's very New York City stuff. But obviously they're both shot and produced in Los Angeles.
Soundstage,
Yeah. But I like the occasional like New York touch. Like we see all the dudes, because they're like giving Ross advice about
Connor and Rachel, parlor.
And they're just standing at a pizza parlor and eating which pizza. I feel like is not something we do here, but like it is like, I think more of a New York City, just like, let's just go into this pizzeria and grab.
And it looked like a legit delicious pizza, props to the props, but it made me want pizza.
To the props department. I still say first time each episode, you have to say props to the props department.
These listeners know. These listeners,
but there are new listeners all the time.
Look. Go back in the archives, start at the beginning.
I also noticed, because I think we talked about this earlier in this on this podcast at some other point, eating scenes and whether or not people actually eat.
Mm-hmm.
I will say Matt LeBlanc actually does take a bite, like in the middle of the scene, which I appreciated. And then David Schwimmer does the thing you see more often, which like
a little nibble.
No, he... let me say my thought. He waits until the last, like after the last line has been said, then he goes, oh. So like the scene ended with him taking a big bite, which I think is like, that's a good middle ground as opposed to the other thing of just like never taking a bite.
Yeah.
But also that pizza's probably fucking gross. It looks good, but it's probably been sitting there, you know, for a couple hours by that point.
Yeah, but then how do they make the cheese look so, like, melty? Wouldn't it, like, coagulate if it was really all that long?
Maybe you're right. Maybe they just got...
Maybe they just had one take and they did it perfectly.
Yeah, they're pros at this point.
Professionals, yeah. Okay. So...
What I left off is, because I was too busy talking about the chick flicks thing, because that bothers me so much. As a guy who is a straight male who loves romantic comedies, I think I... and I love romantic comedies... melodramas, period romances, like all the things that get talked about as chick flicks are like among my favorite subgenres of movies, so I get caught up in that. So I got caught up talking about that I forgot to mention the point of the scene, which is that we find out that Rachel is going to be watching Marcel for a night. I can't even remember why.
I guess he had something to do, but then
he regularly leaves Marcel alone in the apartment. It's fine, right?
Yeah, I think they just needed a plot device.
It's awful.
I mean, it's wrong that he has.
Yeah, exactly.
This, I mean, like, well, we'll get to it later, but it's an exotic animal that's illegal to have.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, you and I had a friend who had a hedgehog, which is not legal in California.
Yeah,
he had to go
like,
to Nevada.
Cross state lines.
to get a hedgehog.
I've had friends who got like ferrets that way. And I think ferrets are like a little more acceptable, but still illegal as pets.
In California, I think California has really strict laws, because I feel like in Missouri, I knew multiple people who had ferrets. It was like not that uncommon.
Well,
a pet.
This guy also had like 5 or 6 ferrets, so maybe it's like the number of ferrets.
Yeah, that's probably
maybe
true.
Maybe you could only have 3 ferrets in California.
What if it's 3 ferrets per human? Yeah. In the house.
Yeah. He had like a ferret room with like all kinds of like hammocks, because they like to hang like from trees. So it was like, it was strange. It didn't smell good, as you could probably imagine.
Well, that's cute though. So anyway, we get to the night in question. Rachel's watching Marcel. They're watching a soap opera together. Again, I should have put that in motifs. The friends watching TV. Mm-hmm. That's bad. Like they watch bad TV.
Yes. With, yeah, a little sprinkle of transphobia, because no episode of Friends is without it.
Oh, right. Because she says the one character, like, quote unquote, like, used to be a man. Or
right.
Something.
And yeah. That, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that'll be another thing that
we'll talk about. Yeah.
The two episodes have in common today.
Which they always do.
Yeah. Well, they're definitely both very dated. Transphobia specifically feels like it's generally more of the Friends thing.
Yeah.
But it definitely comes up hard in How I Met Your Mother this week. But I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yes.
Marcel gets away because he craps in Monica's shoe. Mm-hmm. And Rachel, like, takes the crap out to the incinerator and leaves the door open, and
well,
Marcel gets out.
She puts it in the country club newsletter.
That's right.
As a way to like,
oh, yeah. And I did say, like, her little, like, she's like, here's your engagement present, Barry. I'm sure that wasn't on your registry.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah. Like, did she really say that out loud?
Yeah.
By yourself.
So anyway, they're,
she enlists the help of all the friends, except
to try and
Ross.
Find it before, yeah, Ross gets home.
Yeah.
Which is weird that Rachel says he'll be home, because it's not Ross's apartment. But anyway.
Maybe just
he'll be back.
Back.
But
yeah,
she should have said back. Anyway. Yeah. Maybe I just get hung up on, like, don't call. Your home is your home, Rachel.
Right.
I know Ross acts like he owns the place.
Right.
As do Joey and Chandler.
Right.
Anyway. So they go splitting up. They're looking for
Marcel.
It's very much a reference to the one with the blackout, where they're trying to they find a cat and they're going through, mm-hmm, the house trying to, or
knocking
through the
on doors.
And case in point, Larry Hankin as Mr. Huckles returns again.
Yes.
But then Ross does show up before they find him. He's got a bottle of wine.
His plan is to
thanking Rachel for watching Marcel, he's going to sort of pivot towards, like,
making some moves.
Or, like, letting her know how he feels.
Yeah.
And that's when we get the first of multiple shots of Marcel just doing his thing around the building.
Yeah.
He's, like, out on their balcony. I couldn't tell what he was eating.
He
was like a cannoli?
Eating the waffle that Mr. Heckles left out. Which was a really funny throwback, because that was
like a waffle.
A really funny line, because when they went to Mr. Heckles' door, they said, "Have you seen a monkey?" And he said, "No, but have you seen a waffle?"
I left
waffle?
The Belgian waffle out here.
Yeah, and he said, "I wasn't ready for it."
Yeah, why'd you leave a Belgian waffle in the hallway?
So
I wasn't
Marcel
ready for it. Yeah.
Ate the waffle, but it's cute that he went to the balcony that he knew, like, with,
yeah,
the waffle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I didn't like? So
yeah, there's plenty of things I didn't like, too.
When Ross, like, gets there and she has to admit to him that Marcel is missing,
mm-hmm,
the way that he's, like, I mean, it's a joke that, like, oh, let's, like, try to find him before Ross kills you. But he, and that was, like, played as a joke. And he was, like, menacingly, like, following her around the table.
That's what I
in
have.
A way that's, like, are you going to hurt her?
Yeah.
Like, are we supposed to laugh? It's kind of like Lucy being afraid of Ricky. Like, is he going to hit you? Like,
yeah,
why are you putting your, you know, like.
That's just the beginning of how Ross's behavior. Like, I understand he's upset about the monkey, but the way that he's
chasing her around the apartment.
But the way that he treats Rachel throughout the entire episode,
yeah,
is, like, It's one thing to be mad at your friend who fucked up, but like this goes deeper.
It's like,
and we'll get to it in a minute. But I want to mention some other things. Well, the first thing I wrote, one thing I wrote down here is, I don't know why Ross is so upset. Marcel sucks.
Yeah. And when like animal control is called, that's another thing we'll get to.
That's actually the next thing. So
yeah,
Rachel calls animal control.
And then Ross like kind of freaks out again saying like, you idiot, this is an illegal pet. Like, how dare you? You're a dummy and I hate you, but I secretly objectify you and convince myself that I'm in love with you. Whatever.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. That like Ross's attitude towards Rachel, like he's angry at her because she let the monkey go, but really he's angry at her for not liking him back for 20 years.
And he's punishing her in a way that's
juvenile and toxic.
Yeah. Very toxic and like almost criminal, I would argue.
I wouldn't want to be friends with it. Like if I were Rachel, I would not want to be friends with him again after this.
Because like we're led to believe that you're like pining because you have like deep feelings for this person. But if he had legitimate, like genuine feelings for her, he would be angry at the situation and be understanding. This is a person I care about, maybe love. I'm still going to respect her and care about her. This is a tough situation for anyone. And I know that in the moment, you're probably not that level-headed about it, but come on.
But still, this is like almost, I think, it feels like almost accidentally an illustration of what's wrong and toxic about the like nice guy archetype, which is that like, it's like, oh yeah, he's so sensitive and if he could only like let her know how he feels, but really what's wrapped up in that is this sense of entitlement and this resentment
and like
vindictiveness,
rage at her obliviousness.
Yeah.
Like he's rageful.
How dare you not notice me when I love you?
It's so obvious. Like that this is, that we're perfect for each other. Why don't you see that? Like it's very
gross.
Dangerous. So
but
yes.
You did mention animal control.
Yes. Did you recognize
Marla
her?
Hooch?
Marla Hooch.
From A League of Our Own?
Yeah.
A League of Their Own?
League of Their Own. Love Marla Hooch.
You can say A League of Our Own.
Yeah.
I can't say it's A League of Their Own.
Yeah.
Megan Cavanaugh is the actress.
Hooch.
And here we find it like, if like, this is another thing that I just marveled at. I can't believe the show. I guess Friends is clearly made for like a mainstream audience.
Yes.
Whereas like you got a character like the animal control lady.
Marla Hooch. Oh, her name is Louisa.
Louisa. If you got a character like Louisa who was ignored, if not picked on by popular mean girls in high school.
And it like,
my sympathy is immediately with Louisa, but the show's sympathy is with Monica and Rachel, the mean girls.
Yeah.
And like that's so strange to me, but I guess that's who Friends as a show was for like people who had a good time in high school.
Who are attractive and like, but I also got like a little hint of like classism because Louisa was saying like, you didn't even notice me. I was just like, sitting there in my overalls, you know, and they kind of like, they were
I thought the overalls thing was like supposed to be like, cause she's not feminine.
Maybe she's not feminine, but maybe you're like projecting, Marla Hooch's character. I mean,
given how they dress Louisa in this episode, like she's wearing like a work uniform. She's clearly not supposed to look feminine compared to
these,
you know, Rachel's like little, like, slight like midriff bearing sweater over her like Catholic schoolgirl skirt, which you'll notice didn't make my fashion moments.
Me neither. I think she was saying like, to Rachel, like you were like a stuck up, like rich bitch. And to Monica, of course, is like, well, you were fat, you had your own problems, which is like fat phobia rears its ugly head again.
Not for the last time.
No.
In this episode. I guess the best part of the episode was when Phoebe dives in front of Louisa's tranquilizer gun to the, it was Shaft music, right?
Yeah.
I recognize it.
Phoebe takes a dart in the butt.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, Phoebe's the best part of the episode, yeah. which is not uncommon, yeah. but, not enough to really save the episode. So yeah. yeah. And then Ross is further yelling at Rachel on the street.
Mm-hmm.
We're still not done, but they see someone getting someone in their apartment building getting a delivery of a big box of bananas, yeah. which is funny, I have to say. Yeah. If I weren't so, like, tuned out of the episode by this point,
yeah,
not tuned out, but, like, turned off by the episode at this point, I probably would have found the bananas funnier. The idea that
Mr. Knuckles
he's like stolen a monkey and his first thought is I'm gonna have the boy from down at the greengrocer send me a big box of bananas.
Yeah.
What were you saying? Bananas are funny.
I just had a thought. Like when I was in my junior college cafeteria, I legit saw a girl trip on a banana.
They like, are slick.
They are very slick, but it happens. Like yeah. she truly just like slid like 3 feet on a banana, and we were like a few of us saw it, and I was so glad because I like. Oh, look, she just like tripped on it. We were all just like aghast at what we had just seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very funny. It happens.
I'm laughing at the idea that you were so glad you saw it. Like, I thought you were going to say, I'm so glad she wasn't hurt. But you were like, I'm just so glad I saw this. Because
if I told it to someone, they'd be like, huh, yeah, yeah. But it's something to see. People falling and tripping, it's funny because it happens to all of us.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
It's always embarrassing, but so relatable. It's like the one thing that humanizes all of us.
Yeah.
It's the one thing.
So then we find out it's Mr. Heckles who got the bananas delivered because he found and stole Marcel.
And then made a dress for her for him?
First, hold on.
Oh.
I want to say we see the inside of Mr. Heckles' apartment, which we learned in a previous episode he lives directly below
yes.
Monica and Rachel. And yet his apartment is a different layout.
Yes.
I guess that's something I feel like that's something that TV shows should think about. You know, we live in an apartment building. The apartment below us has the same layout as our apartment does because that's the way apartment buildings are made.
Right. It's the easiest.
Yeah. So he puts a little tutu on Marcel. I noted that Marcel is dressed like Carrie Bradshaw.
Which it's funny because Rachel's like, if you put some pumps on, it's a nice little outfit. So yeah that's that right, is very
yeah.
much
yeah.
Carrie Bradshaw.
And then we get the final showdown between Louisa and the gang because she's trying to, as animal control, she's trying to do her job and take Marcel away from Ross, mm-hmm. who's not supposed to have
yeah.
Marcel.
She even cages Marcel.
Yeah, and then they get into a fight where Rachel appears to Luisa's better nature, and then when that doesn't work, tries to blackmail her. Mm-hmm. When it doesn't work, Ross says, like, something, you had to be I hate saying the word,
yeah.
a B word in high school. You yeah. couldn't have just been fat, like,
yeah.
The meanness of this yeah. episode is like,
it's very mean.
Won't stop.
Yeah.
Just asterisk though. I say that I don't like to say that word, but as you know, as someone who lives with me, I say the phrase son of a bitch constantly.
Yeah.
It's like one of my go-to phrases. Yeah. And I think of them as like two different words. Like there's the B word. That's like a mean, like misogynist thing that I don't like to say. And then there's son of a bitch, which is just a word of it on its own.
But would you call a female person a son of a bitch?
I don't think I say son of a bitch like if I drop something or stub my toe or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't think I really describe a person as a son
yeah.
of a bitch.
That's yeah.
yeah. It's just like an expression, like a like just like saying, oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
You also say like fuck me. Like you'll say things like in social cell, I'll be like, we're not at home. Like you can't just do that.
I should grow up. After an entire 10 straight minutes of Ross being like a condescending misogynist prick to Rachel, then he tries to woo her. He goes back to the like trying to woo her plan.
Yeah. Well, you missed the part of how how Rachel blackmails Louisa by saying, I guess it doesn't matter.
Oh, because you shot my friend in the butt with a dart.
Yeah, whatever. I'm going to tell your supervisor that you shot my friend. Yeah.
So, yeah, it goes back to putting, like, to trying to woo Rachel. And then Barry walks in and is like, I'm still in love with you, whatever. And but I'm realizing, because I guess this is March of 1995 that this aired. So I'm in real life 12 and a half, if we're counting.
Mm-hmm.
But I think by the time I'm this age, maybe I'm starting to get a little bit more aware of the world. But that kind of corny shit that Ross does, like pouring some wine and then like surreptitiously like dimming the lights. Like mm-hmm. when I was a kid, like that's what I thought that like the moves were. Like,
and in his mind, that's what he thinks they are too, which is like further
because he's a child,
and he doesn't see Rachel as like a person with a mind and a brain and agency. He's like, this is how one woos this object of affection. Like, he's not thinking of her as a person.
Yeah, he's thinking
this is
she's supposed to be with me. I just need to like get the pieces in place.
And I've seen from like old timey, like it's just so absurd.
It is absurd. Yeah. Then we do get a tag. Friends episodes have tags at the end, which how many other episodes don't always.
Yeah.
We get a tag at the end that I've already forgotten what it was about. But they're talking about their like childhood experience. Oh yeah. It's like who had like a good time in high school. Joey loved high school. Cause he was like, not surprising to me that Joey was like a popular with the ladies in high school or whatever. And I think this is the first time I remember learning that Chandler went to an all boys boarding school.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't, that's, I don't know. I think all one gender boarding schools are, a good way to fuck up a kid.
But of course he makes some joke about like, if I had a good time, I'd have to like have a very different lifestyle change.
All right, so let's move on.
Wait, you missed the part about hot babes who like who were like neighbors in the building.
In one of my funniest moments. Or one of these moments of the episode.
Okay,
I have three.
Their radiator broke, and it was like, they really had to like fight. Like, oh, they're looking for this monkey. We have to be there for our friends and not like.
So it's like
total perverts.
Two hot in more ways than one, like sweaty, like dressed down girls drinking
daiquiris. Yeah, they're drinking rum. It's like too tempting for them.
I had three funniest moments. So I guess this episode did have some funniest moments, but the one I'm going to pick first I'm not going to do, this is my rule. I'll do one, then I'll throw to you, and then if one of yours isn't on my list, then I'll read my honorable mentions. Okay, because I don't want to step on yours. But my first one is not actually a line. It's the first time that Ross is trying to like put the moves on Rachel when he's opening the wine, you know, and then like someone comes in, someone before Barry, someone else comes in. And he, no, wait, sorry. I'm saying it wrong.
The gang comes in and interrupts.
But that's his
first attempt.
I'm sorry. I'm mixing up statements. Okay. Here's what it is. After when he first comes home, not home, back to Monica and Rachel's. Yes. Sorry. I apologize, listeners. This is all over the place, but now I have it. When he first comes back, Rachel hasn't told him Marcel is missing yet. He's already starting to put on the moves. And he's starting to say the things he's going to say. He's like opening the bottle of wine. And then Rachel says, I can't do this. And he's like, okay, quick and painful. And then puts the cork back in the bottle. I like the visual of him like recorking the bottle and trying to screw it back in.
Yeah.
That was my first funniest moment. I swear to God it was funny. I totally butchered the...
Mine was just like a classic, like silly Phoebe, when she gets, the dart in her butt, like the next, like a few hours later, she says, one of my cheeks is numb and the other cheek has no idea. Which is just like a funny thought. I'll throw it back to you. And then I have one more.
I have another, Phoebe won.
Okay.
Because Marcel craps in Monica's shoe, and she's like, wait, he crapped in my shoe? Which one? And Rachel's like, the left one. She's like, no, which ones? And Rachel's like, the black whatever it is. Yeah. And then when Phoebe comes in and finds out that Marcel crapped in, she says, which one? And Monica's like, the black clunky ones or whatever. And Phoebe says, no, which one? The right or the left? Because the left one is lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. That was very funny. I did laugh out loud. My other funny one, I almost like don't want to admit that I thought it was funny, but it's when Ross is being a tyrannical monster, getting mad at Rachel. And he's like getting mad at himself. Like, I should have never let you watch Marcel. I should have never trusted you to do this. Like, I should have started out with a pen or a pencil. And his delivery of those were funny, but I don't want to
give him credit for that. But it's part of him being mean.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, my last one, you kind of mentioned it, but it's specifically the phrase, these women are very hot and they need our help.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Friends, but make it fashion. And I'm going to, in the scene where Ross, the first Ross and Rachel scene, which is right before the gang comes in the top of the movies or whatever, Ross is wearing a very cool tie that's like, I'm not sure what you call this pattern. It's like a bunch of different stripes, and each stripe is a different pattern. Kind of like what you would see on like an ugly, quote unquote, ugly Christmas sweater, but it was a more tasteful, like muted version.
Yeah.
But it was like different patterns in a stripe pattern on his tie. It was a very cool tie. I like.
Was it also loosened in a way that made him look unkempt?
Yeah, I think he was supposed to. I think that's like, often like end of the workday. You know, maybe when we see him at work, maybe he's more put together. End of the workday, he like unbuttons his collar and loosens his tie. I think that's pretty a common look for Ross, at least when we see him on Friends.
Okay. I noticed that Rachel's hair was very like fluffed up and like puffier than usual. Because normally the Rachel is very like, while it's like big and very layered, it's kind of like smooth and slick. This was very like, you can see the actual texture of her hair, which with Jennifer Aniston's hair, it looked natural and it was like puffy. I don't like the style. I think it's like not a good look, but I liked that it was more natural.
But the Rachel refers to her haircut, like we're already in the era.
We're in the Rachel. Yeah, okay. She has the Rachel. It was just a more natural, fluffed up Rachel. I also noticed both Rachel and Monica were wearing like starchy button up shirts.
Okay.
Anyway,
let's move on to motifs and running jokes. Of course,
we talked about
Rachel's bad at her job.
Yeah,
and another return of that interstitial music that sounds like a police ripoff.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. That kind of like faux reggae.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which like, as someone who does not like the Police, tends to, I feel like I talk way too much on this podcast about bands I don't like.
Yeah.
Like Pavement and My Morning Jacket and now the Police. Yeah. Like, I like a lot of music.
Nope. No, you don't.
I just seem to be very negative about music on this podcast. Did you catch anything that I didn't catch as a more of a longtime Friends fan?
No. I mean, we talked a lot about, the reoccurring, like, problematic themes. I think we covered it all.
All right.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Should we move on then to a recap of How I Met Your Mother, Season 1, Episode 19, Marry the Paralegal?
Yeah. So we do start off at McLaren's with the gang, and it's a little like flashback, a 3 month earlier,
right, 3 months earlier,
where Ted is saying like, he's talking about Victoria. I'm just really into her. I think she's the one. She's in it for the long haul. And I guess they were planning, for Robin to invite them to like an awards ceremony. She's going to be honored at the local area media awards.
The lamas.
So he's saying like, oh yeah, I'm going to bring Victoria as my date. And they're like, oh, 3 months from now. Like, wow. Hitting the brakes or hitting the gas pretty hard there. And he's like, oh no, this is like long haul. This is what I want. So yeah, we know that he famously broke up with her and lost Robin.
Yeah, but he also has, we learned from the episode of the wedding, that he has a tendency to put that he'll bring a plus one,
right,
whether he's with someone or not, because he's just always so hopeful that he's going to be with someone.
Yeah. So, so we're now in like the present day where it's like time to go to the Lamas.
Yeah. Which has an open bar, which I noticed that's a very, that's a very him-yim gang thing. Mm-hmm. Like they all don't want to go until Robin's like, there's an open bar. We're in.
Yeah. So, so I guess, Ted wants to bring a date, but it's like that night. So he can't, or the next day. So he can't find a date in time. So then Barney is like, suggests hiring a prostitute or sex worker, but
he says escort.
They use a bunch of terms for sex worker.
Yeah, throughout they don't the episode. Say sex worker.
They didn't never
I don't
say
think in 2006. Yeah. People were saying that.
We're going to call them like sex workers because that's, what we, that's what we say.
Yeah, but weirdly, they use, like Barney says some of the worst stuff, but his overall position
is pretty progressive.
Is the most woke.
He's even challenging like puritanical ideas because, you know, Ted says, ew, gross. And then, you know, Barney is like, no, no, no. Like, this is the like oldest profession. Like, get rid of your puritanical beliefs and your moral high ground. But yeah.
And it's not just Ted. It's also Marshall.
It's Lily.
It's Lily.
It's Robin.
It's
the show is very mean spirited also in a way that's
like I was saying with the Friends episode, like this is a show, or at least that episode, this episode is written for someone who doesn't feel the same way that I do about these things.
Yes.
And that's what we're having here. The entire like
plot
narrative conflict of the episode is based on a premise that I find objectionable.
Same. Yes. It was like almost comical, like all the different terms for sex worker that Barney digs up. Like at one point he calls them professional fornicators, courtesans.
Yeah. You stole one of my funniest moments, which is, courtesans are people too. I thought that was a funny line.
Yeah. So yeah, Ted's saying like, no, 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 I'm not going to do that. Like I would never do a thing like that. Ew, gross. No. But then it's discovered, or, Robin tells Lily that she's going to bring a date, that her date being Sandy Rivers, the co-host, but also the, I guess he has a show where he literally just reads the paper.
Yeah. Which I found, like, I think that's funny, but also the idea that Ted and Marshall like have this ritual of watching Sandy read the paper to laugh at him. And they have these little, like that costumes. Felt a little contrived.
Yeah. Yeah. They have like tapes of it and like put it on for,
and they like put on like
little hat
hats on the TV. So it looks like, I feel like I've talked before about how I Met Your Mother being like slightly larger than life is, I think, a good thing. Most of the time that felt like a swing and a miss to me.
Yeah. So yeah, they find out that Robin has a date, and now, you know, Ted's freaking out because like he wants to make her jealous because she's trying to make him jealous. Barney introduces Ted to Mary in the way that he always presents. Have you met Mary? And so, you know, Ted can't believe like, I don't want to do this. She's a prostitute. It's assumed that she's a prostitute, you know, because Barney
it's not assumed. Barney has like, I guess Barney never actually comes out and says Mary's a prostitute, but like
he says she's a companion, but yeah, yeah. But Mary's actually like pretty cool and they're like kind of hitting it off. She's hot and also like funny and nice and seems into Ted. So they go, Ted admits that he's on a intentional like sex hiatus. Mm-hmm. And it's been 57 days. Mm-hmm. And there's a very funny spit take that Barney does. Like Barney is like, wait, what? And like takes a sip just to spit.
But
take.
It's not the funniest part to me was not the, that it takes a sip was, is the little exchange. Like, is that your water? Can oh I yeah, sip? Go ahead. Do you mind?
And then
that little exchange.
Yeah. So yeah, they go to the ceremony. And, you know, Sandy Rivers is very silly. It works because Robin is jealous of Ted and Mary, like hitting it off. They're having a good time. Lily and Marshall are totally opposed to this. Well, Lily actually doesn't know.
Right, which leads to another, like,
gross,
shameful joke, because she borrows Mary's
lipstick.
She goes
to the bathroom, and they have, like, girl chat in the bathroom and uses her lipstick, and then she's like, ugh, when she finds out. She's disgusted. Marshall's disgusted. It's a problem.
It's regressive and shaming and...
Yeah. So, Robin is, like, really pissed off. She actually gets... she wins the... She has an she wins a Lama, and in her acceptance speech, she thanks her friends at the table, but does not include Ted.
And she says,
"End of
that's
list.
It. That's all my friends.
That's all my friends." Like, just she's very petty. Throughout this whole episode, there's also like a little theme of like ESP, extrasensory perception. So they're having dialogues like that say so much, like, I can't believe you would bring her. It's not a big deal. Look at her. Like they're having this dialogue, which no one could hear.
Well, it's like Marshall has this connection with Ted and with Lily, but it's not with all three. So like, he's having an ESP conversation with Ted and Lily's like, in ESP terms, what are you and Ted talking about? Like, that's very funny.
It's very funny. It becomes broken. Cause does she fall asleep or something?
Yeah, and then he says it. It wakes her. He like sends her a message via ESP,
and then she screams, "Mary's a prostitute!"
Yeah,
and everyone's like, "Whoa, she's a prostitute! Ew, gross, 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 gross." So Ted and Mary are hitting it off in such a way that they're at a hotel. Barney gives them the keys to the room, and they're like hitting it off. They want to go up. They're gonna have sex. Supposedly on the way up, you know, Ted is being Ted, like, this is so unexpected. This is the first time I've done anything like this. And Mary's like, gone on a date? I go on plenty of dates. And then there's kind of like the series of like misunderstandings, like, oh, my clients are sometimes like so anal. Just like
my client's been writing me all day.
Just dumb misunderstandings about her being a sex worker. And then I don't know how it's like unearthed that he thinks she's an actual.
He says, "You're a hooker."
Yeah.
He says the word hooker to her face. He says the phrase, "You're a hooker," to her face three times.
And she's
times
like,
in a row.
"No, I'm a paralegal." Which, like, at the table when Robin's like, "Oh, Mary, what do you do?" And then Barney chimes in, "Oh, she's a paralegal." And we all think that, like, oh, this is just like a clever ruse.
We think he's trying to cover for her, but really he's trying to keep his little scheme from being uncovered.
But then Mary's like, oh yeah, like I do a lot of like clerical paperwork in the legal office. I work for blah, 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 blah. And that's like a legitimate law firm. The twist is that she's not actually a sex worker and he actually just knows her from the building. So he did this to prove a point, I guess.
Which I think worked. Like his point was to Ted was like, if you relax,
you'll actually like make a connection with
charming.
Someone.
Yeah, because he didn't think
like this woman who is not a sex worker was willing to have sex with you based on your you know,
just being yourself, or
just
whatever.
Being yourself, yeah. And having like a genuine connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I guess it's like, I guess it's a good point to make, but not.
I'm telling you, Barney says some of the worst stuff in this episode, including the transphobic slur that I'm not going to use.
Yes. Yes.
But he uses that awful yeah. word.
Yep.
But he also has the best overall point of view on sex work. That, yes. that the one yep. that I think the test of time has, like, Barney is more on the right side of history.
Yeah, but I mean, this is like a new level of horrible behavior for Barney.
You mean the, like, the phrasing he uses?
Not just the phrasing he uses, but talking this woman,
this poor woman, yeah,
into this like scandal trap, like,
yeah.
So in his mind, they're going to have sex under the idea that she's a set. Like, it's just, it's a horrible thing to do to everyone involved.
Yeah, yeah, it's awful.
It's awful.
But it's still, you're right. You know what? And I didn't spend enough time thinking about that because I was thinking so much more about how everyone else was being so like, judgmental and moralistic right. and like paternalistic and just terrible, you know, like Marshall, like not even as a joke, just telling Ted, you can't do this. It's wrong on every level. Like that point of view about sex yeah, work just like,
yeah.
is, out of step,
yeah.
Out of date.
Because Marshall and Lily are like supposed to be like the voice of reason. So this show is in line with them.
Yes.
I feel like,
yes.
which is, yeah.
Yeah.
Bad. It's a problem. So yeah, a lot of like slut shaming behavior. Like, I can't believe I used her lipstick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's her. She wipes off the lipstick with a napkin. Oh, that's her napkin. Oh, gross. Ew. Ew. Like, yeah. it's just, you shouldn't behave like yeah. that.
Although I
like
that she flung the napkin and it hit a waiter. I don't know if you noticed that.
I didn't notice that. So yeah. And then at the very end, we learned that, Barney kind of like gets one over on Barney in retaliation by, running up the charges to the hotel room who he hasn't checked out of the hotel room. He's pouring champagne down the bathtub,
getting a massage. Yeah.
yeah. So I
That's
guess,
pretty good.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Good for him.
A couple of things I noticed. I love that Alexis Demasoff is back as Sandy Rivers. I liked the idea of, because we didn't even talk about how Lily's like little like running thing is that she's tired and cranky because
oh yeah
she no longer has
she
nap
can't
time,
take her naps.
Which I thought was so funny that she was like, they took away the kids' nap time, which means they took away my nap time. And Robin's like, you nap when the kids nap? Is that safe? And Lily says, they're 5 years old. What are they going to do to me?
Yeah,
that's
really funny.
That should have been my funniest moment, because that might have been the funniest moment of any of both these two episodes, now that I think about it. But I did like cranky Lily, like mocking Sandy. Sandy says like, I don't know, like I can't remember what he says, but yeah. Lily like does it in a mocking voice,
yeah,
which is extra textually funny because they're married,
yes,
in real life,
yes.
Another thing I noticed, so the Lamas, as I'm going to continue to call them, were hosted by a local area like horror movie guy named Vampire Lou, who this yeah. is a reference to. A lot of different markets in the U.S. had like, you know, horror hosts. Sven mm-hmm. Gulli in Chicago was mm-hmm. like the one I knew, but they're all over. But he's played by Robert Michael Morris, who was Mickey on The Comeback. Do you remember The Comeback?
No.
Lisa Kudrow's
show? I didn't watch it.
Oh, okay. Well, Mickey was like her best friend, but also like the target of a lot of her kind of her whipping boy at the same time. But he okay. was Robert Michael Morris was great on The Comeback, so wanted to call him out here because he's very good here too in his like three lines that he has. But that's it. What would you have for funniest moments of the episode?
Oh, it was Marshall. I don't know like what he said this in reference to, but he said that he was placing small items in Sandy's hair all night.
Yeah.
And that was funny enough. But then when Sandy Rivers and Robin walk out, you see like little like drink umbrellas and like yeah. pieces of straw in yeah. the back of his head, which I thought was very funny.
Well, my funniest moment, we already talked about courtesans or people too. My funniest moment was also Sandy related. The first time Robin introduces him, he says, use my whole name. People like it. So yeah. the whole rest of the episode, people are like, Sandy Rivers.
Yeah.
I like that as a
joke. I know that that was supposed to be funny and they kept going back to it. I guess it just didn't work for me.
I guess I thought it worked for me because I kept forgetting.
Okay.
So someone would just say Sandy and then I would forget and then I'd go
Rivers.
And it, yeah. So I guess it worked for me because I'm dumb.
I also liked when Robin said to Ted, you're really hitting it off with Mary. Have you kissed her yet? Or are you waiting to get in a long-term relationship?
Yeah.
Which was like a funny little jab.
Yeah. We didn't talk about it. Yeah, they have a whole like fight, which I think was probably the best written and acted moment of the episode. But again, like what I was saying with friends, if I weren't so turned off by the episode at that point, maybe I would have been more into it. But I was already just so annoyed by the episode by that point. Do you have a How I Met Your Mother moment, but make it fashion?
Well, Lily looks great in purple, but I didn't like her eyeshadow.
I also have Lily's purple dress. I didn't think about her eyeshadow, but I like her updo or whatever, her hair for the awards show.
It was an updo? I thought it was down.
No, maybe it wasn't up.
It wasn't up. It was like styled, but it wasn't like, up.
But her hair looked bigger than it usually does. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Maybe she's got some up. Volume.
Yeah, volume. Maybe that's what I mean instead. See, I know clothing terms. I don't know hair terms. I gotta watch.
There's a lot of.
I gotta watch. Trying to remember. There was a Project Runway, but for hairstylists, right?
Yeah, I don't remember what that's called.
The reason I remember that it happened is because years ago when I used to drive for Lyft.
Ugh, yeah.
There was I picked up someone who was on that show and he was like, oh, what did we used to, was it Periscope? What was like the Twitter, like live Twitter video thing? Was it Periscope? He was like Periscoping to all his followers.
Okay.
Like from the back of my car. And I was trying to be like,
what show?
No, I was just trying to be like, where do you need to go? And you'd be like, because you also drove for Lyft, right?
Yeah.
The way it works is you're supposed to like put in the address.
Yes.
And that's, I think the app has now made it so that you have to.
Yeah.
Right. But we were driving pretty early on in Lyft.
They got in the car first and then they put the address in.
Yeah. And so some people would be like, just go or just turn right up there and be like,
no. You
just
need to
tell me the final destination and I will take you there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm so glad that I only drove for Lyft for a year.
Anyway,
what I was saying is one of the contestants from that show was in my car.
Okay.
And that's why I don't know hair terms, because I hate that guy.
Okay. I also noticed with fashion, there was just so much ruching of all of the ladies' dresses for this event.
That's the thing, like Mary's dress, where it looks like...
It's like pulled together.
Yeah, but it almost looks like it has the effect of it looking stretched a little bit to me, to my eye.
But it's like it's pulled in a direction to accentuate an area
of the
body. But it's called ruching.
I didn't know it was called ruching. But yeah, I definitely caught that with Mary's dress.
Like curtained in a bunched up way.
Okay. Yeah. There
curtained
you go.
Curtained in a bunched up way.
Yeah. Now they just used our curtains here to
demonstrate the.
Yeah. To illustrate. Yeah. Now I'll. What motifs or running jokes did you? Count? You already mentioned. Have you met Ted?
Yeah. That one. Let's see. Homophobia, transphobia, slut shaming. No, what else?
That's the only one I had was Have You Met Ted?
Yeah.
I feel like similarities and differences we already covered.
We covered
like,
a lot of those,
A lot of these things. But there was, we covered, I want to use this, maybe this is, I need to be more flexible with like the outline of the podcast. Because I always want to use this section, similarities and differences, to talk about like bigger themes.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we talked about those a lot.
Yeah.
And now I end up using this section to be like, hey, did you notice two weird things that happened? Like,
yeah.
So both episodes did have people watching bad TV. You had Rachel watching the soap opera and you had Ted and Marshall watching Sandy's morning newscast.
Yeah.
So yeah, this segment has become the opposite of what I mentioned, but I feel like we talked about a lot of big
Yeah,
big,
we covered it. It happened organically. That's fine.
Well, now we have to play favorites.
Okay. This is, again, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to count us down.
3, 2, 1.
Friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Friends didn't have an actual slur the way that How I Met Your Mother did. And I just had more funniest moments on Friends than I did on How I Met Your Mother. So
yeah.
Overall, this Friends episode was the lesser of the two evils.
Yes. And they were both quite evil.
Well, now that we've gotten all that out of the way, we get to go to my favorite segment, or at least my favorite segment to introduce, which is the segment that we call How Were We Doing? In which we look at the things that were happening in the world in the day these two episodes aired. So Friends Season 1, Episode 19, the one where the monkey gets away, aired on Thursday, March 9th, 1995. And this won't be of any interest to you, Natalie, but this was the day that Major League Baseball awarded a new franchise to Tampa Bay, a franchise that would become the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, and then now just the Tampa Bay Rays, who competed in the World Series against the Dodgers last year.
I don't hate baseball. I like the Dodgers.
You like the Dodgers? Yeah.
I hate football.
I guess go Dodgers. Now they eliminated my St. Louis Cardinals, so that was sad, but now that my St. Louis Cardinals are eliminated, go Dodgers.
Yeah.
Last year the Dodgers beat the Tampa Bay Rays. It always bothered me that they used to be called the Devil Rays. It's a better name, and now they're just the Rays.
So they wanted to take the devil out of...
I wonder if it's like, are there a lot of like Catholics? Evangelicals in Florida who are like, we're not going to support a team that has devil in the name.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Which reminds me of Seinfeld.
El Diablo. Yeah. Which is funny because Putty paints himself up as the devil to go to a New Jersey Devils game.
Yeah.
But then don't we later find out that Putty is a Christian?
Yeah.
Because his car is tuned to Christian radio and he has a Jesus fish on his bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Also, top five songs in the USA on March 9th, 1995. Madonna's Take a Bow, TLC's Creep, Soul for Real's Candy Rain, which we talked about last week.
Which I sang embarrassingly.
Brandy's Baby. And then, again, there's a motif of me hating music, but a song, I think this is the first time it's come up, a song that I don't think you and I have talked about. I almost guarantee you like this song, and I find it to be an obnoxious earworm. You Gotta Be by Desiree.
Yeah.
You Gotta Be.
Yeah, I
kind of
like it.
I knew you would. Yeah. But that like repetition of the You Gotta Be, like I always found that kind of embarrassing and annoying, and it would get in my head in a way that like...
All I know.
Do you ever have a like... Sometimes when a song's in my head and I can't get it out, it's a similar feeling to when I'm hungry and there's nothing, like I don't, like if I'm stuck like in jury duty or something and I know I'm not going to get to eat for a while. Mm-hmm. It's that same like sort of like I'm queasy and I'm frustrated at the same time.
Yeah.
And like, so like You Gotta Be is one of those songs that makes me feel like I need to eat a Snickers bar.
Well, I think we've talked about this before, but supposedly you're just supposed to listen to the whole thing in its entirety, and that will, because the earworm part is like that it's unfinished. It's just a phrase that keeps repeating.
You Gotta Be.
Yeah, You Gotta Be. But if you sat and listened to the whole thing, it might satisfy that. It might quench that hunger.
Or I could listen to a song that I like
and get that in your head.
And get that in my head instead. And then How I Met Your Mother Season 1, Episode 19, Mary the Paralegal, aired on Monday, April 24th, 2006.
Okay.
So at this point in my life, by the way, I am, I'm like probably unemployed or working. This was a period when I was taking PA jobs where I could, but not quite yet on the big PA job I would work for the entire summer of 2006. So I was probably unemployed and frustrated.
Okay.
But there's also a...
You're not in L.A. yet.
No, yeah, I've been in L.A.
Right.
Since
that's
before How Many Mother started.
Okay.
I thought there was a sports thing I could tie in to to these two things, but I can't seem to find one. I could have sworn. Pope Benedict XVI is reported to have agreed to a relaxation of rules for the use of condoms among Catholics.
Huh.
There was a sports thing. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, if you remember him, unexpectedly lifts a 27-year ban on female attendance of public sporting events in Iran. They still need permission of the male head of the household to attend and will sit in a special female-only section. But that's interesting because there was a Jafar Panahi, the great Iranian film director, had a movie called Offsides, I think, that was about Iranian, like, female soccer fans trying to like sneak into a soccer game disguised as men, I think.
Okay.
So that was a big deal. The, I guess obviously it's a big deal if women aren't allowed to go to, go to games. Top five songs in the USA. Daniel Powder's Bad Day continues its tyrannical reign. At number one. Sean Paul Temperature, T.I. The Creep, What You Know, LL Cool J's Control Myself, and Natasha Bedingfield's Unwritten.
The best is still unwritten. We keep talking about this song.
Oh, okay. I forgot that we talked about this song. So that's how are we doing. Let's move on to the final segment, which I call Challenge Accepted. Mm-hmm. It's weird that these are both references to catchphrases that haven't come up yet on the two shows we're watching.
Yeah, and I'm just like,
Challenge accepted. This is where we take a look at the titles of the next episodes we're going to watch, and we each make respective predictions based on those titles. But first, we have to look at how we did last week.
Mm-hmm.
And to refresh listeners' memory, or for new listeners who don't know that Natalie says props to the props department, not just props to the props. At the end of the season, we will tally up who has gotten the most predictions right, and the loser has to make a $500 donation to the charity of the winner's choice.
Yes.
I pick out a charity because I don't think I can come back at this point. Like, mathematically, I actually don't think I can.
Oh, okay. Great.
But let's see. I said that my prediction for the one where the monkey gets away would be that Ross meets a potential romantic interest while looking for Marcel.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Not what happened.
No.
Unfortunately. Your prediction was a paralegal at work has the hots for Marshall like everyone should and does.
Yeah, I think I was like way more wrong than you were.
But we were both wrong, so I think no points, as happens most weeks.
But
I think
you got it right as far as like Marcel, obviously.
But the episode was called.
But it was like a love story involving Ross.
I don't need your pity. Pity votes. I don't need you to round me
but
up.
But I was like so off in every way. It had nothing to do with Marshall.
Not one of us is always going to like win every week. There's no, I think no points awarded is really the norm here.
And listeners, if you're out there, let us know what you think. If you have an opinion that we don't have, let us know.
And we're still at a tie on whether or not Cameron Manheim is a big enough guest star to qualify as a big guest star.
Right.
We're at on terms of, like, you and I couldn't agree. We threw out to the listeners, and we got in the exact same number of responses in either direction. So we're still at loggerheads over whether or not Cameron Manheim is a big guest star. All right, so I'm going to make my prediction about Friends Season 1, Episode 20, the one with the evil orthodontist.
Mm-hmm.
Now this, I've got an advantage here.
Yeah,
because I know that Barry is an orthodontist.
Yes.
So this episode is going to be about Barry, but I feel like I have to have, something more specific. I'm going to say,
what makes him evil?
Oh, I was going to, my prediction was going to be that Rachel tells Barry off.
Does she call him an evil?
Yeah, I think like there's probably going to be like some, oh, he still loves me. Maybe I could, you know, go back to my old life. And there's going to be like some conflict there. But I think by the end, it's going to be like, no, I've found who I am. I'm finding who I am here. Mm-hmm. five people who are always in each other's business are my real friends, yeah. my new family. I think so. It's going to be like Rachel tells Barry off.
Okay.
Rachel tells Barry where he can stick it.
Okay. How I Met Your Mother.
Yes, I know. Season this is why this is why we had to vamp, because it takes me a second to pull these things up.
I want
to
guess.
Season 1, episode 20 of How I Met Your Mother is called Best Prom Ever.
Okay. I think that this will be a flashback to everyone's prom. And I think it'll be Barney who says best prom ever. Is that enough?
Oh yeah. Oh okay. Yeah. I think that's more than enough.
Okay. So flashback prom episode, which you know about the Friends episode that has the,
yes, I do. Ross, like Rachel's date stands him up. And Ross is like, I'll go with you. And, but then there's his date, her date shows up anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking loser. Just fucking, fuck Ross.
Yeah, fuck Ross.
I went to 3 proms. Mm-hmm. I was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we did it. We talked about all of seasons 1, episodes 19 of both of our programs.
We did,
Natalie.
Programs, yes.
I think we. I think this is a better episode than last week's. To be honest,
yeah.
Last
it's week the only we were, way to go, but up. Yeah.
Yeah, last week we were kind of stumbling through it, but I think we were animated by our indignation at both of these episodes.
Yeah.
Our moral righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it. You can find me, David, at BattleshipRetention.com. That's where you can find this podcast, my other podcast, Battleship Retention, movie reviews, all sorts of things like that. You can email me at David@BattleshipRetention.com. You can follow me at Davey Pretension. More importantly, you can email the both of us mm-hmm. at TheOneWhereIMetYourMother@gmail.com. And we recommend you do that.
Yeah. And you could also rate and review on Apple or iTunes.
Rate and review us on iTunes. Yeah. That's a positive thing to do.
Yeah. Let us know. Tell your friends or don't.
And Natalie, once again, you don't want people to find you anywhere.
Nah, it's okay.
All right.
Until next time, catch us at the Lamas.